good to see you. It is holiday weekend. We know of a number of folks who have been able to be away this weekend. We have some schools that are off and a lot of very happy teachers, maybe for at least a day or two, some for a whole week. Nice to see visitors here with us. Welcome if you're here. I won't go down the list because I will miss some of you. We have some things to pray for. We have Karen left their sister, Janie Hennessy. You'll notice she's not here today. Karen and Janie, their mom is staying with George and Karen now after she's gotten out of the hospital. And they've set up a place for her to basically, she's living in the dining room now, right, George? Ms. Molosh is. But anyway, George and Karen were away, and Janie and Kathy were there taking care of Mrs. Molosh, and she needed something at about 5 in the morning, and Janie went down to help and missed the last step and broke her foot or her ankle or both. So she's messed up pretty bad. She's got a lot of things, a lot of metal has been added to her body last night, so she's going to be probably non-weight-bearing for about 6 weeks. So pray for Janie, and many of you know Natalie and Franklin. Franklin, your deployment's coming up pretty soon, isn't it? In April. So, yeah, pray for both Franklin and for Natalie as they look ahead to that and prepare for it, and then just for all the things we need to be praying for. A lot of other things as well. We have Trevor is not doing well. He was moved from the rehab facility to the hospital 2 days ago, and he's still there. So pray for Trevor. Many of you know him. There's just a lot of things, a lot of good things happening as well. The Lord's working in people's lives. We're excited to just see what he's doing. But why don't we commit these things to the Lord in prayer? All right, Father, thank you so much that we can come to you. We don't know all the needs, and we certainly don't know the extent of the needs we're aware of. But we're grateful that you do. Lord, it'd be foolish to go anywhere else for help, because some of these things only you can do. And so we're grateful for good doctors. We're grateful for good care. But Lord, each of these folks we've mentioned needs your healing hand, and the doctors need wisdom and grace from you. And so we commit all of this to you. We pray for Janie and ask that you would help her to get better soon, that she'd be a good patient. Pray for help for her. We pray, Lord, for Lillian Molosh. We commit her to you and the care that she needs. Thank you that Karen and George and the whole family are able to help there. So we commit them to you. Father, we pray for Franklin as he gets ready for this deployment a couple months away. We just ask that you would go ahead of him, that you would both among his fellow servicemen and even among some of the locals, that you would bring your people into his life, that he would enjoy rich fellowship in a pretty difficult situation. Pray for Natalie, who'll be at home. So, Lord, we commit them to you. Father, we pray for Trevor and ask that. It's just so hard to know even how to pray for Trevor. We don't know in these moments of what look like near coma. We don't know what you're doing in his life, and we don't know what he understands. But we pray that you would bless him with a clarity of thought to be talking with you. So, Lord, we just don't know there. We commit him to you, and we're grateful that we can. Father, for all the other needs represented here, we pray that you would meet those needs, that each one of us here would be aware of your work in caring for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are looking at the book of Isaiah. Last week we looked at Isaiah chapter 51, and what I'd like to do today is continue on in Isaiah chapter 52. From Isaiah 51, we saw Isaiah's addressing this remnant. It's the true believers. It's the not only just people who belong to God through faith, but it's the people who are really interested in serving Him and in walking with Him. That's the remnant. And we hear of the remnant throughout the book of Isaiah and throughout some other Old Testament authors as well. But what he said in chapter 51 was, the remnant must maintain their desire to be faithful to the Lord. And what Isaiah did was he gave three places last week in 51 that believers need to look in order to remain faithful to the Lord. He advised the believers in chapter 51 to first of all look back to God's fulfilled promises. And then he said, look ahead to promises yet to come. And then he said, look presently at the Lord's strength and at His desire to save, His desire to deliver. And now we come to Isaiah chapter 52, where he really does kind of repeat some of the terms and content from chapter 51. But he enlarges the scope a bit when we get to chapter 52. He tells us in chapter 52, basically he says we are to leave our bondage to sin and we are to receive the deliverance that he offers, and then we need to go to a place where sin no longer has such an easy job leading us. Well, that's what he tells us to do. The themes of joy, themes of rejoicing remain from chapter 51. And Isaiah says to rejoice and to follow the Lord because he has brought salvation. So this is to be a joyous passage, but it's also what I guess I would call a preparation passage. Remember, Isaiah is speaking to an original group of people who lived in Judah. They were from the southern nation. Israel was to the north. Now, by the time Isaiah is writing this, Israel's already been pretty much taken into captivity. But he's writing to Judah, and they're still in the land. They would be in the land probably another 100 years. Not quite 100. Then they would be taken captive into Babylon. And 70 years later, they would come back to Judah, to Jerusalem. And I keep bringing this up to you guys because it's so important that we grasp the kind of a brief historical context there. So that's who Isaiah is writing to. He's writing to people who have yet to be taken captive, and he is writing to them about their return from the captivity. But even as we look at that return from the captivity, the words that Isaiah uses, you can tell he's writing about much more than that return. And he's writing about the eventual time when Jesus Christ will come back and call his people from the four corners of the earth. And at that point, Jesus will establish his kingdom. And all of those believers will come into that kingdom with Jesus Christ as king. So that's ultimately what he's talking about here. So it's a preparation passage. He's preparing the people who are going to go into captivity soon. He's preparing the people who are going to come back from that captivity. He's preparing us for the time when Jesus comes. Not talking about the rapture here. Talking about his coming back to touch the earth. What does he say? He says to fully rejoice and to adequately follow Jesus. First thing we have to do is we have to be prepared to serve. Be prepared for service. And I guess that's the message for us here today. If we know Jesus as our Savior, be prepared for service. Now, that's just not a statement that says, okay, be prepared, you guys. He might call on you soon, and he might. But how do we get prepared? Look at verse 1. Awake, he says. Awake. Put on your strength, O Zion, and put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you when you are called upon to step out for God. Don't be timid. That's what he's saying here. Awake. Awake. Here's how you're supposed to be dressed. Put on this stuff, he says. The call here is for the remnant to be bold in obedience and to be bold in service. That's true for God's people today as well. To be bold in obedience, to be bold in service. Heed the call, he says. Take hold of the Lord. Be ready to serve. You know, if we were to take a poll here, how many of you are ready to serve? I'm sure many of us would raise our hands. I would. What does it mean to be ready to serve? There's responsibilities around here that people need to pick up. That's just the way it is. There's a lot more things that can get done. There's a lot more ministries that need help. There's a lot of ways to serve him. What responsibilities could you be a part of to carry forward? I don't know. We need to go to the Lord for the strength to do any of those. What might look like a minor, easy task. You know, if we approach that in our own strength, we're going to quite possibly fall on our face. When you're called to step out, don't be timid. Be prepared and ready to make things happen. What kind of preparation would you need? That's the things we have to consider. What kind of preparation do I need? Despite our age here, our various ages that are represented, what kind of preparation do we need to serve him well? Do you need some more biblical instruction? Where are you at with what you know about the Bible? We've all picked up pretty much of the Bible, I would guess, just by being around the Lord's people. We know there's an Old Testament. We know there's a New Testament. We know there's some good stuff in both. But depending on a task that you should be picking up, a responsibility that you should begin to bear, depending on what that is, maybe you need some more biblical instruction to be able to do that well. Maybe you need to take some courses in Bible. I don't know. Do you need more spiritual stamina? Will the task that is available for you to do and something that you can do, do you have the spiritual stamina to pull that off? Are you there spiritually? Have you exercised yourself in the spiritual disciplines? How about a leadership team to do that ministry? You know, a lot of us get excited about doing something, and most of the things we get excited about doing, we're never going to pull off on our own. We need someone else with us. We need a ministry team. I'm not talking about, you know, major like New York City street evangelism every Thursday afternoon. No. I'm talking about the stuff that needs to be done here. I've been very encouraged by seeing some of the things that are going on with many of you in the Star of Hope mission. There's a lot of people engaging, and probably the most exciting part about that, even from the, what is it, the Tuesday fresh food care, man, there's a team forming. You know, if Deb would have kept doing that on her own, she wouldn't still be there. She would have turned into a turnip by now after moving all that stuff. Yeah, you see a team coming together. And maybe for some of the things that you see as responsibilities that you can pick up, maybe you need to get a team together to do that. Go to the nursing home. I shouldn't say we, I don't go. But a handful of the people here once a month head to the nursing home. That's a team. If Jim and Amy went there alone each week, it wouldn't work. Many of you have helped out there. What do you need to be prepared? Do you need to visit other similar ministries that are going on and see how they do it? And maybe say, wow, well, you know, we can do that. So I guess when I say, are we prepared for service? That's what I'm talking about. When you're called to step out, don't be timid. Second, separate yourself from the things that hinder you from the work. You know, it's not just a matter of saying, here I am, Lord, I'm going to start now. He might say, well, yeah, you need some preparation. And then we might discover as we're preparing for service that we need to get rid of some things in our life if this is going to work. What's hindering you from moving ahead with some significant act of obedience or service? Maybe you're a little bit lazy. You see what has to be done. Now, you know that in the Lord's strength, you could probably do it, but you're not willing to expend the required energy. For the rest of you old people out there like me, do you wake up really early in the morning? I do. I don't care what time I go to bed at night, but I wake up early. Now, I have woken up early even when I wasn't old. That was just the story of my life. When I was a drunk, I woke up early. I just did. But I kind of saw myself as I was looking at this passage today. Proverbs tells us as a door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard on his bed. I'm thinking, man, that's been me for 50 years. I still think today is the day I'm going to go back to sleep after I wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning. I truly believe that. So I stay there till 6:30 or 7 because this is the day that it's going to work. Am I the only one that does this? I am that door on the hinges. Flop, flop, flop. She hasn't kicked me out with her feet yet. A little laziness. Yeah, Lord, I'd want to be involved, and I'm getting prepared, but I'm a little bit lazy. We can be lack preparation because of things we have to get rid of. To dump that laziness. Is there a besetting sin? That's an old King James term from the book of Hebrews. A besetting sin. That's a sin in our life that we're keeping there. And we're not dealing with it. It's not killing us as far as we can tell. Used to be more fun than it is now, but I still play with that sin. Those kind of things can hinder us from service. our society does a really good job keeping many of us on the shelf in terms of service because of its propensity to tempt us with things we fall to. I've got to tell you, when I came to faith in Christ back in the day, 1973, 74, around in there, Christians never touched alcohol. They didn't just not drink. They didn't touch it. We called them legalists. And we, after I, even growing in my faith, and even though the spiritual giants around me took that view, they had a lot of other views of things too that I thought silly. But I got to tell you, alcohol's making a strong comeback among believers today. A strong comeback. And drunkenness is going to put you on the shelf for Christ. He's not going to use you. Besetting sin. Well, I'm a little bit lazy, Lord. I don't want to do that. Yeah, and I don't want to give that up. Besetting sins, sexual distractions, and we could camp there for a while, couldn't we? You know, now it's not just the sexual distraction of maybe being involved in illicit sexual things. When I say that, I mean sex outside of marriage, whatever. But it's not just the temptation of a short generation ago to abstain from sexual relations until marriage. That pressure's been there. Probably Cain and Abel dealt with that. Adam and Eve were kind of born married. Did whatever. But now, when I say sexual distraction, it's this whole distraction of what am I? Am I a guy in a woman's body? Am I a woman in a guy's body? Am I a guy in a bad body? Whatever. Am I this? Am I that? What am I today? Now, believe me, I'm not making fun of this. These are real issues. And I got to appreciate the honesty that these issues are bringing to society, but boy, it's a distraction that many of us here never had to face. Maybe that's taking too much of our time, those kinds of sexual distractions. Political distractions. Embracing time-draining fads. Be a distraction. Health and fitness gone extreme. Laziness and gluttony gone extreme. All these causes, most of the things that start with anti or pro and that are pushed at us whenever we go online, most of those are distractions that rob our time, like that wheel robs the time of the guinea pig. And we don't get anything done. When you're called to step out, don't be timid. And second, separate yourself from those things that hinder you from serving God. So, be prepared for service. Second, verses 3 through 6, be prepared for deliverance. For thus says the Lord, verse 3, you've sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. The Lord says he's coming back for these people. But he's not coming back with a bag of cash to buy them back. He's not coming back with trinkets to give out to the captors in order to pay for their return. No, he says, you're being bought without money. That adverb, without cost, means free. It means gratis. But that word is etymologically related to the word for grace. And so it provides a really good illustration of the meaning of grace. Freely, gratuitously, without a cause. And that remains the meaning of grace when we get to the New Testament. Free. Absolutely free. When he comes to deliver us, He delivers us with grace. He doesn't come and say, line up and clean up your act so I can deliver you. He doesn't say, tell me how good you're going to be. He doesn't say, what can you do for me before I display grace? No, deliverance is fully of grace. So be prepared for deliverance. Some of us are, man, we run from grace. And we run from it because of pride. I don't want anything for nothing. I'm okay. Don't need that. No thanks. No, don't burn yourself. I'm good. It's stupid to do it among each other. It's tragic to do that with the Lord. You can't do that. For thus says the Lord God, verse 4, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. And then he's kind of implying, and we know how that ended. Ended pretty bad. Well, the real ending was pretty good because there was what? There was deliverance. Things got bad in those 400 years. And then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. That was in their recent history, very recent history. Their northern brethren were taken captive by the Assyrians. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord. Deliverance from bondage is just around the corner for the people he's talking to. But note right at the start that deliverance of his people is not just about delivering his people. No, as you read through that passage, you see it's so much more than delivering his people. God is vindicating his name. And he delivers his people in order to vindicate his name. The people's captivity and their suffering has hurt the Lord's reputation among the heathens. And God always steps in when his reputation is at stake. In the second part of verse 5, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. That's what's causing God to stand up and to act. It's his name. And man, I look at what you and I are doing, and are we blaspheming his name by the way that we live? Maybe we're blaspheming his name among our family. Maybe we're blaspheming his name among people at work. But their deliverance is going to vindicate him. Therefore, my people shall know my name, verse 6. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. Wow. Be prepared for service. Be prepared for deliverance. Verses 7 through 10. Be prepared to celebrate. I don't know if I'm a good celebrator. I have a lot of fun. I laugh a lot. Judy and I celebrated Valentine's Day. That was fun. We did it on Thursday. Didn't want to deal with the crowds. Had to go somewhere anyway, so we went and said, hey, as long as we're here, let's have dinner. And as long as it's the 13th, let's call it Valentine's Day. What a celebration. It was. I'm not real good at celebrating, though. I remember, 15 years ago, it seemed like all of the Christian songs that came out had dancing in it. Do you remember that? Maybe some of you celebrate by dancing. I've never once wanted to break forth in dance, even when I'm really, really, really happy. But some of you do. I want to see that. Not here. I don't know. I guess dancing can be, it's celebratory in the scriptures, let's say. It is. The Bible's very clear on that. I would have been the one, you know, on the side watching. And I mean, I'm okay with this great music we have. If you're tapping your foot to that, that's good. Don't tap them both. That's dancing, okay? One of them is fine. That's good. But celebrating, he talks about celebration here. Verses 7 and 8, to the arrival of this good news. That's an event that should be welcomed. The passage of Scripture you're familiar with, he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This is celebration. And he's talking about the good news is the good news, not so much of the gospel as you and I know it today, but the good news of the deliverance of God's people, and that's met with celebration. We need to be prepared to celebrate. We are so good at thinking God does nothing, we never think of the celebration that's going to accompany what he does. It's the arrival of good news. It's an event to be welcomed. And then the arrival of good news is an event that brings great praise. Break forth into joy and sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. He said, even the bad spots of the city, you're going to be rejoicing. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Verse 10. The Lord has made bare his holy arm. Goes back to what he said in chapter 15 about that strong arm. He's laid it bare. But here it's his holy arm in the eyes of the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see. That's salvation, the salvation of our God. Wow. In the will of the Lord, on the last Sunday of, or the last Wednesday of this month, I forgot the date, I think it flipped by up there earlier, we're going to do our monthly praise and prayer night. And you got to be there. Last month we had one, and we'll probably do the same thing again this month. We will remind you on the Sunday before to come with a note of praise. something that you can share with the people there of what God has done. He's done a lot. And I have the privilege of knowing a lot of the things he has done in many of your lives. But not everybody knows that. And boy, that was a great night where different people stood up and they gave praise to God for certain things that he's done. Believers are wired for that. We are wired to express praise to God. So many of us just squash that. Part of it is a humility thing in a good way, but that can turn into a bad humility. That those of us who say, oh, nobody wants to hear from me. Oh, no, I don't talk to groups. I just don't, never have, never will. Imagine saying that to the Lord when we stand before him. How come you never said a word about, I don't talk to groups, Lord? Yeah, that's going to go over fast, isn't it? Be prepared for service. Be prepared for deliverance. Be prepared to celebrate. And fourth, be prepared to walk with God. And that's where this is going. That's where he's brought this passage. You see, it's not just the salvation. It's not just the deliverance from sin. It's not just the celebration that comes with answered prayer. The celebration that comes with God's amazing blessing in our life. It's not just that. It comes down to verses 11 and 12. Be prepared to walk with God. That's the day-to-day stuff. That's the stuff that keeps us holy at home. That's the stuff that keeps us from losing patience with our spouse or with our children or with our neighbors. That's the stuff that keeps us going day after day after day. Look what he says, verse 11, depart, depart. Go from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Talking about leaving the captivity. And be clean. You who bear the vessels of the Lord. Talking specifically there about the priests. Be clean. Be clean. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. You see, in service for the Lord, we're to do it with purity and confidence, verse 11, and to go forth with God's blessing, verse 12. Verse 12 says we can step out in our own timing. It says you don't go out in haste. When you're preparing to serve the Lord, you can take out this concept, and don't worry about this concept of jumping into it. Oh, I got to do it. I got to do it now. Don't go out in haste. And the people were going to come back following the captivity. They're going to come back. It wasn't, oh no, you're going to miss the bus here. We can step out in our own timing and without the panic. Don't bring panic into serving the Lord. And we don't have to go out secretly. Verse 12 also says you don't go by flight. God's going to prepare our way, verse 12. He's going to go before us. And he will guard our backs, verse 12. Be ready. Be prepared. It's a preparation passage, remember? Be prepared for service. Be prepared for deliverance. Be prepared to celebrate. And then be prepared to walk with God. I don't know which one of those you're needing preparation for today. Maybe at the top of the list, you need to be prepared to serve. We talked about that. Maybe you're prepared and you have you've taken some steps to prepare. And you have dealt with some of these sins that are that kind of put us on the shelf. Now you got to prepare for deliverance. God really will deliver you. John mentioned in his prayer, I think it was, about things like addictions. I'm amazed at what God will do. Sometimes he delivers people. I have met addicts to various things who God just took it away. Wow. I have met addicts to different things who still struggle 30 years after getting saved. That's the path that, but they're clean. They're making it. I don't know what path God's going to bring us down with some of these things. Be prepared. Deliverance is there. And then we need to live as delivered people. That's kind of hard sometimes. Even though we're delivered, even though God has... I'm sure that there were people that came back from the Babylonian captivity and still whined about how much they missed it. Right? Be prepared for deliverance. Third, be prepared to celebrate. And then... be prepared to walk with God. The passage really is saying this. We need to leave our bondage to sin. We need to receive God's deliverance. And then we need to make it to that place where sin doesn't have such an easy job stealing my affections. And that place is usually highly dosed with God's word and with God's people. Don't give up either of them. God's word and God's people. Okay. Let's close in prayer. We'll have a last song then. And then take up our collection. Father, thank you so much for the kindness that you've shown to us in caring about how we live. Father, there's maybe some folks here today who've never believed in your Son as Savior. I pray that you would work in their life even now, that they would see their need of a Savior. Probably many children in our Sunday school who have not yet received you as their Savior. We pray for them. Father, for every believer here in this building today, we just pray that you would help us to seriously be prepared to serve you, to be prepared to obey you. I pray that you would bless us not only with opportunity, but with a heart that longs to be ready for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bob.